Welcome to Urban Tales, a podcast that delves into the minds of young entrepreneurs who have moved to New York City in search of professional development, and maybe even some personal development along the way. I'm your host, Maya Sargent, and today I am joined by Jeremy Yao, founder of Changing Room. Changing Room is a Chrome extension that offers a curation of secondhand alternatives that saves you time by scanning and comparing findings from all major secondhand marketplaces and local thrift stores. Changing Room comes about at a time of demand when the worldwide apparel resale market has been valued at $119 billion and has grown by 69%. These are crucial numbers when Earth.org has reported that fashion production comprises 10% of total global carbon emissions. So it's important to keep this demand for thrifted clothing sustained, and this is where Changing Room comes in. Jeremy is no stranger to the fashion industry himself. His own personal journey has taken him to some of the largest fashion capitals in the world, from Paris to London and finally New York, where Changing Room has its origins. Today, Jeremy and I will talk about how his personal background has encouraged his commitment to sustainability within the fashion industry, and how New York fares as a city of secondhand fashion. Jeremy, first of all, welcome to Urban Tales. Why don't we start with a little introduction about yourself and your background for the listeners?
I'm from Paris. My parents used to work in the fashion industry. I was an only child for 10 years, but during that time, my parents used to take me a bit everywhere. And since they used to work with factories in China, with the denim factories and work with some more Western brands, I got to see very firsthand how things evolved. I got to see how, you know, like the rivers and like the surroundings kind of changed. That's kind of how I got some first awareness on the issues from the waste and pollution in the fashion industry. Then when I went to college, I got to do a bit more awareness work. We were like throwing some fashion shows all around upcycling, giving some of the proceeds to charities. And after I finished my undergraduate studies, I went to study at Columbia, where I focused a lot on data science and entrepreneurship. Worked on some industry projects where we helped Louis Vuitton their CO2 emissions through their supply chains. And at the business school, there were a few entrepreneurship classes where you could kind of like think through problems that you really care about and try to, you know, like use some frameworks to think of ways that you can like create a big idea. At first, obviously, I was a bit skeptical when I took the class. I was like, okay, I don't know if I can get out with a big idea, but we got the first seed ideas of Changing Room there. And then, so we started with an idea from a classroom at Columbia Business School. And then we kind of iterated, we failed a lot, and then pivoted to what is Changing Room today.
And obviously, you've had quite an international experience from Paris to London to now New York. And as an online business as Changing Room is, were you inspired to create Changing Room because of factors and issues that you identified whilst living in New York City specifically, or did you identify the same issues when you were living both in Paris and London as well?
I would say I grew up in Paris. Paris is a beautiful city, amazing for fashion as well. London was also amazing, super cosmopolitan, way more student-friendly than New York. But in New York, the reason why we started in New York is because logistically, I did my master's at Columbia University, so it was easier to start here. But apart from that, I really love the city. I really love the people here, because you might not love New York for the city itself, but you meet really incredible people. People are super passionate about what they do, and it's super open in the sense that you can really meet people and connect.
I think that's so right. I think there's a dynamism to New York that's so like electric, and I think as a founder of Changing Room, that must be so inspiring to kind of build your business off the back of that.
Yeah, definitely. You get to meet like interesting people, and then whereas I feel like, you know, in other places, it's might not be as accessible. Just like a very easy example. So we got some of our content on TikTok that got a bit viral, and we got a lot of people who were interested in working with us. Some investor got some interest, and we got a bit of press as well. People reaching out, people being super interested in working with us. A lot of this mindset of being like super open might have been influenced by the fact that we're living in New York, you know.
Definitely. So to break it down for our listeners, Changing Room is a Chrome extension that listeners can add to their Google Chrome browsers to find secondhand alternatives. I think this is such a clever idea. And so as the founder, how would you describe Changing Room as a brand and a business?
Basically, think of us as a sky scanner for secondhand fashion. So what we do is we compare all the products that exist in the secondhand market from like eBay, Poshmark, The RealReal, and we're able to show you the best deal to what you're looking for. Let's say I'm looking for a Gucci Jackie bag, then like we would scan through all of these and show you what you're looking for, but cheaper and better for the environment. Because we're really trying to change people's mindset and make it easy for them to change towards more sustainable practices. And we felt that the current status quo was very, you know, like very judgy, pointing fingers. So we initially started by helping people understand some of the impact that they were having. And we were suggesting some other more sustainable alternatives, but some of them were a bit more expensive. And we quickly realized that it was harder to make this change if we were recommending some more expensive products. When we were mentioning the secondhand products, people got a lot more excited. We realized that the value was there. You're looking at a product that you really like, and we're able to show you the same product or similar products, but cheaper because it's secondhand and also better for the environment. You save time because we help you kind of like sift through all the major secondhand retailers from like Depop, The Real Real, Poshmark, ThredUp, and like more local thrift stores in New York City to really make sure that you find the best deals, because sometimes you find some like really good pieces, but maybe you didn't know, but like on eBay, someone sold it like for considerably cheaper. This is the value that we're bringing right now.
I just really love this idea so much. I think it's so clever and so apt for our current climate,
because we've seen thrifting surge. I guess it's become kind of trendy to thrift, and secondhand stores have become more of like a trendy way to shop. How do you think developing your business in New York City has helped specifically? Is being so close to an array of thrift stores helpful?
First, I love New York City. I love the people here. What we're really trying to build is a community. So first, bring together people who really care about saving the environment, but also, you know, like being very conscious about your wallet. Not everyone is able to spend on like designer clothes, and maybe sometimes you're looking at a product that's maybe designer, like a Gucci Jackie bag or something like that. We're working with some peer-to-peer rental platforms. What we're able to do is like, if you're seeing this bag, maybe you can rent it for the weekend if you need it for an event, and also test it out. So we really want to make clothing overall more accessible to people, whether it's designer or whether it's like you want to just buy like some trend. We want to just try to make it accessible to people, because some of the big barriers to get into secondhand, because a lot of people were like, it's very easy to be quote unquote sustainable. You just need to thrift and, you know, buy secondhand clothes. In practice, like it's not that easy, because when you have a constraint on your budget, it's really hard to, you know, like find the right pieces that you want at the right price. And also, like, it just takes a lot of time to sift through all of the items. Like, whether you do it online or you do it in person, it takes a lot of time. And so I do feel like, you know, it's not that easy. This is also why we wanted to start our company.
I think as well, it's so easy when you don't have an option. Let's say you need a dress for an event and you can't find anything, and you try and find something secondhand, and then your default is to be like, I'm going to go to Zara down the road because I know they're going to have something. How would you, I guess, guide people on how to stop that from happening? Because I don't like buying fast fashion, but sometimes when you've been at work all week and you haven't physically had time to buy a dress, you'll pop down the road to whatever the fast fashion company is because of accessibility.
First of all, we don't want to shame anyone. Like, we totally understand it's like easy, it's fast, it's convenient, you know, it's going to be there and you can look in trend, right? So like it's accessible, it's easy. We're really trying to focus on like helping you change like this, like marginally. When you make a change, whether it's just like for yourself or in general, like it's gradual. Like, I haven't seen much change that happened like overnight. So we really wanted, you know, kind of show you some alternatives, and maybe just like plant the seed in your head and be like, okay, so those are some other options that you can choose from. But right now we're still learning how to define what similar items are, or like how to, you know, improve our AI so that we can provide something better. But if, for example, you have to buy firsthand, like underwear or socks, there's still a few things that you can be on the lookout for if you buy firsthand. Some of the things that I would think about would be if it's like produced locally, if it's using of like plastic. Usually when it's like a blend of like plastic and natural fibers, right now we're not able to recycle those fibers. Think about how local it is. Usually it's better when it's made out of a single fiber. It's easier to recycle right now. So you need to think about the impact from like the production. So like when it's created, if it's used a lot of like toxic dyes, if it's very water intensive, or if it's, you know, emits a lot of carbon emissions. And then when you look through the cycle, you want to think through, okay, what if I wear it a lot, is it going to like shed some microplastics along the way? And then at the end of the journey, whether you pass it on to someone else? Or is it going to be able to break down and biodegrade? Or is it going to just stay on the landfills for like thousands of years? I do want to say that there are some really cool innovations as well happening. There are some really cool people who are working on making some natural fibers using CO2. I also saw a really cool initiative that was able to separate the blends of polyester and elastane, which is right now like very like kind of complex. There's some really cool people working on that.
Of course. And as I think shopping sustainably has become a lot more on people's minds and people's consciences now about how they're shopping and their buying habits, for you, have you always had an interest in sustainable fashion? Where did that journey begin?
So obviously, you know, when I grew up, first, I didn't get too much direct education on this, like whether it was at school or from my parents, because I talked to a few people whose parents were already super aware and were teaching their children. And that was not the case for me. At home, when I was like in high school, my mom would still like buy me a lot of like Zara or H&M items because it was cheap. And we had no idea like that it was like so harmful for the environment. And, you know, for people who have and own like, you know, fast fashion garments, I would say like the best thing that you can do is to keep wearing them and honoring the piece. Like, I would say the journey for us was incremental. You know, it's always a learning process. Even when we started, we got to learn so much about like different stages of the production, impact that can arise from different ways that sometimes you don't even necessarily think about. How do you calculate, for example, the impact of cotton that's like water irrigated versus rain fed, if it's like in Asia or Africa? Like, there's so many like parameters that are very complex. And right now the industry is still a bit opaque, so it's very hard to quantify easily and really understand. I still try to also like challenge myself as well and try to improve what I'm doing. I'm definitely not perfect. It's good to be mindful and try to help like reduce your impact in different ways. But one of the most impactful ways that you can, you know, do that is in your work. So like, you know, you spend most of your time working, and this is where you have a bit like most impact.
So you've been speaking about aligning your daily values to your work's mission. So by trying to adhere to sustainable practices in all aspects of your life, do you think this is important for you to do so you can create a certain authenticity to your brand?
I haven't thought about very much like in alignment with the brand. The thing is, I personally care about these issues, and I really want to try to make some small changes, like raise a bit of awareness. When people ask you why are you doing this or that, then you can explain like, oh, like I'm doing this because I'm trying to reduce my impact. I think this kind of comes down a bit more to my life purpose here, like, and I do feel like that by being able to have this positive impact around me.
I started this podcast because I'm always really interested in people's kind of success stories. I'm a real creative person myself, and I think when people engage with their passions and turn it into a business is one of the most incredible things a human can do. What are some of the things that you've learned from this process of developing a business, would you say?
So right now we're still, you know, like learning a lot, and we're still like improving our products so that we can make a more tangible impact in the future to hopefully help as many people as we can. But some tangible insight that we learned through failing is that you need to just try things out. But first, before you try things out, you just need to make sure that what you're building is something that's going to be useful. Like, you don't want to spend like hours building something that no one's going to be using. So you want to do something called customer discovery. So you want to make sure that whatever problem that you're solving is a problem that is important to them, that they would be willing to allocate time or money to the issue that you're solving. And I think one of the hardest thing as an entrepreneur is to show something that's not perfect. And like, so you know that your product is not perfect, but you need to put it out there to get feedback so you can improve on it.
Which is scary. That's
really hard, I think.
And has your experience as an entrepreneur been everything that you thought it was going
to
be?
To put it into perspective, I'm really living like kind of my dream. Like, I'm super excited every day. I get to hang out with my team. Everyone's super passionate about like the problem that we're solving. I really love it. It doesn't mean that we also get anxiety. Sometimes it's kind of stressful. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs. And I feel like when you're working on your own project or company, things get amplified. So the downs are like you're questioning everything. You're wondering like, should I have done that? Like, is it worth my time? Like, I spent 8 months, a year building this. People don't love it. What should I do? So get some feedback, understand like what went wrong, obviously, and then try to iterate on that. And then, but the ups are amazing. I think this is like some of the most gratifying experiences I've had. And when some users try your extension and really love it, and when they share this feedback to you, and they told you, tell you that, you know, this is something that they've been, you know, dreaming of using, and, you know, and it really brings value to them, helps them save time and et cetera, and like just people using your product.
It must be like the most gratifying feeling from it going like a creative idea that you've been like, oh, this would really help me, but I wonder if it would help the greater public, to then seeing it in process. Must just be incredible. I want to touch on, you said that you did some work with Louis Vuitton. Did you take anything from that that you have applied, whether it was lessons, the way that they ran things, or inspiration, and put that into Changing Room?
I did learn a lot from this experience at Louis Vuitton, where we helped them map out their CO2 emissions, in the sense that it got me understand that where we are at the fashion industry right now in terms of like using data and trying to really like think about our impact and how we can make and produce clothes and try to be very mindful and conscious about everything around us. We're still at a stage that we can do a lot of work. There's still so much that we can do. I know that, for example, when I worked on the Louis Vuitton project, there was, you know, like this desire to make a change and try to understand like the carbon footprint and everything. But there are many challenges, and it's not easy on the brands as well. Just to put it into perspective again, like, we're a super data-driven company, right? So we get a lot of data on like clothing items, and we try to understand like what's similar. Super data-driven, and I feel like I might have learned a bit more on that through working with Rent the Runway and helping them with their recommendation systems, just because of the nature of like what we're doing today. Wherever you are in the ecosystem, like it's not like that easy, and like people are making efforts. But I did feel like that I could make more impact by, you know, starting something on my own.
We'll be right back. And do you think that fashion has an eco-friendly focus in New York City specifically?
Obviously, yeah, I'm super optimistic about the future. I think we can still do a lot more. But I think New York City is a great place in terms of like the people that you meet. People are very passionate. People are very open. And I've met so many great people in the initiative in New York City. We were exhibiting at Earth Day in Union Square this year, and made some incredible initiatives and incredible people who are very passionate about making an impact in climate, whether it was like in the fashion industry. So I was just very happy to see that.
What are your kind of main goals moving forward for Changing Room? What does a 5-year marker look like for you?
There's still so much that we want to do. So right now we just put together a Chrome extension that helps you find similar secondhand products, whether you're on Uniqlo or you're on like Gucci, you're able to see alternatives on the products that you're looking for. We do understand that a lot of our users and our community buy on mobile, so we're like moving to building a mobile app so that we can try to help people as best they can when they search for items. So we're working on that. And at the same time, we're also working on improving our AI, because we really want the recommendation to be good. We really want to be relevant, and this takes a bit of time to build. In the future, like, there's a lot of things that we want to build to help people. We want to bring some more insights as to what you're buying or you're looking to buy is a good price for the market. So like maybe more analysis there, as well as if you sell, helping people navigate. I have a lot of clothes. Where can I donate them? Where can I sell them? Which platform should I go for? How much will they charge, etc.? And we want to just, you know, make the whole process as easy as possible. We also want to connect with the ecosystem, so we want to work with the brands as well. Maybe help them set up some of their resale programs. I heard that some fast fashion brands, I think Shein or Zara, working on like their resale program. Balenciaga is working on a resale program. So see if there's ways that we can connect with them and try to help them.
Amazing. And do you think, my fear is that because secondhand shopping has become kind of trendy, I fear that there won't be a longevity to it. Do you think that it's something that we will always be conscious about moving forward now?
I think even though maybe like you hear about and you get into this lifestyle of like buying secondhand through this current trend, I think it's still good because it makes you think about, you know, like your own clothes and like how you wear them, and like it makes you think about the value that you have. At the end of me wearing this jacket, like how much is it going to be worth? Like, can I just extract more value out of it? If I'm not wearing something, can I sell it? Can I rent it? Can I give it? I feel like it still helps you think in a different way. So I do think there's like some long lasting properties to it. And I do hope that with our work, we will be able to kind of democratize the access to secondhand, so that it would be as easy as going on a fast fashion website to find the piece that you want.
And you've had this incredible journey to becoming this founder of a business that is helping our planet and helping people help the planet. What is one thing that you would tell your younger self?
trying to kind of like enjoy the journey, trying to enjoy the process, trying to be a bit more grateful about the present moment, just because I feel like a lot of us are super concerned about the future or the past, and then you don't end up like being present and enjoying like whatever you're working on. I think with whatever you're doing, whether you're a founder or you're working on something else, you need to strike the balance. Work, and your personal life, I think that's very important.
Definitely. I think the need to introduce sustainable practices into our buying habits is something that often gets lost across the generational divide, because we've grown up constantly seeing the consequences of our actions displayed on social media. So I really think that Chrome extensions and apps can be a way to bridge this divide by making it easier to shop sustainably.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me in.
Of course. And that's the end of today's episode. Thank you so much to Jeremy for sharing the development of Changing Room for Urban Tales. Join me next week when I'll be chatting with Petrushka Bazin-Larsen and Nick Larsen, co-founders of Sugar Hill Creamery, an artisanal dessert company based in New York. Petrushka, Nick, and I will delve into the creation of their business and how the backdrop of New York City and its communities have inspired Sugar Hill Creamery. See you next time.